football on Off the Ball.
I think Liverpool have won the transfer window, even if they don't get Isak. If they end up getting Isak, then they've blown everybody out of the water.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Played alongside Jack Charlton for the great Leeds team of the late 60s and early 70s. A World Cup winner in 1966, Big Jack went on to bring the Republic of Ireland to their first major tournaments in Euro 88, Italia 90 and USA 94. And here, shortly after Charlton's death in July 2020, Giles remembered one of the most iconic figures in Irish sporting history.
Very, very sad. He hasn't been well for a while, John, you know, yeah. Unfortunately. But condolences to Pat. Pat, his wife, is a lovely, lovely girl and knew her well in Leeds and got on very well with my wife. So it's a sad day and he's had a full life. There's no doubt about that, Big Jack.
Big Jack. And Euro 88, Italia 90, USA 94. He helped put football in this country on the map, John. He led us to some great days, wonderful days.
Yeah, well, the first time we qualified for a major competition, and in Ireland, like other countries, we love to be on the big games and the big competitions, and it was great for the country. 88 and 90 particularly, first time we ever qualified for a major competition. So I think Jack popularised the game in a way that it had never been popularised before. I mean, people in Ireland who, had, in my opinion, didn't have that much interest in soccer before. Because the country got there, followed them all the way, and definitely popularised the game in a big way.
Do you remember when you first met him, John?
I remember Jack when I first met him. I went to Leeds in 1963. I was 22. Jack was, I think, 27, 28. And I actually had a strip next to him in the dressing room. So I met him I'd met him before that because he's a brother of Bobby, the famous Bobby, as we know.
Yeah.
And he used to come to Manchester now and again to see Bobby. And I met him there in Manchester, but I didn't get to know him very well. Obviously got to know him very well when I went to Leeds at that time.
And you effectively took on the establishment with Leeds, John. You won the league in 1969. You won the FA Cup in 1972. I say he was a great man to have behind you because he was a great centre-half.
He was, he had a strange career, Jack, at Leeds. Before, Leeds mostly were a second division team, and they were in the first division now and again. And they weren't doing very well when Don Revie took over. And Jack hadn't been the best trainer in the world. He didn't look after himself as well as he might have done. And I think Don Revie gave him a warning that if he didn't book up, he'd be out. And he became then the best centre-half, in my opinion, in what was then what's now the Premier League, for at least five seasons. And that included playing in the World Cup, winning the World Cup with England in 1966. He was a top-class centre-half.
What was he like as a teammate?
I didn't get on very well with him as a teammate. We had different ideas about the game. Jack was a big centre-half, and he saw the game through the big centre-half's eyes. So if Bremner and myself were going deep for the ball, he'd say, get up the pitch. I can do what you can do. And then he'd kick it into the crowd. He believed that, if he got the ball on the edge of the box, as a big centre-half, it was a good chance he'd lose it. And he saw the game through that way. Like, he wouldn't give any credit to Billy Bremner and myself as little fellas who could beat somebody and wouldn't lose a ball at the edge of the box. So we didn't have the same philosophy on the game in a big way. But we respected each other. He was the best centre-half, as I said, for at least 5 or 6 years in the First Division. And off the pitch, we got on very, very well.
A good character, loved to pint, loved to fish. And I think that's what people loved about him. He was just a very authentic man. What you see is what you got.
Oh, yeah, that was Jack. There was no two sides to Jack, as they say. You know, that's what he was. He could mix well. He was a great after-dinner speaker, John, by the way. He was terrific at it. You know, he's very natural. I don't think Jack ever suffered with nerves on anything. You know, he just was what he was. He got on with anybody. He was the total opposite to Bobby. You know, Bobby was a very shy individual. Bobby would go into, say, into a pub. He'd be always sitting in the corner. And Jack would be up at the bar talking to everybody. No bother to him. He was a very, very outgoing individual.
So by the time we qualify for these tournaments, John, you're in the RT studio. It's strange that you're a teammate of this man, and then you're the manager, and then he's managing us to a European Championship and a World Cup, and at times you had to be critical.
Well, I think when you're doing the job, if it's no point in doing the job if you're not going to say what you believe. I'd say I wouldn't have been very popular at the time criticising Jack when the team was doing well. But it was an honest opinion. I always respected him. We were total opposites in our philosophy on football from the time we played together. But I think Jack respected my situation, and I respected his. I didn't agree with everything he did. But if you go on the television and you honestly don't agree, and then you start agreeing with him on the television, people spot that very, very clearly. So I respected Jack. I didn't agree with a lot of the things that he did at that particular time. And I'd have to say from and people used to say, well, I might be jealous about him because I didn't qualify as a manager. But I'd have to say there were different situations from the time I was a manager to the Jack was a manager. In other words, Jack had a huge and bigger and better selection of players than I had, and I don't mean any disrespect to the players I had, because the granny rule changed. We called it the granny rule for people who qualified for Ireland. And a few things changed. First of all, in my time, you had to top the group to qualify for a major competition. In Jack's time, it went to second in the group and then later on to playoffs, which was a big change. And the granny rule changed, where we got the likes of Ray Houghton, Andy Townsend, John Aldridge, these type of players, which made us, I think we had terrific players, really, really top class players when Jack was manager of the Irish team, and he did a great job with them.
And Euro 88, beating England at Stuttgart, that was a landmark day, John, in Irish football, wasn't it?
Which is that?
Euro 88, beating England at Stuttgart.
Oh, yeah, it was huge. Well, England were always the big enemy for us, and to beat them in a major competition, first of all to qualify for the major competition, and then to beat England, I think, in one of the early matches, was it really got the crowd behind the soccer team in Ireland that hadn't been there before.
Just read out some text.
And Jack did that.
Diverted, a 10-part Off the Ball original series telling the story of sport and other things on a journey through Latin America.
I'm nervous, and police will use tear gas.
Yes, yes, yes!
Jesus!
You're looking at two of the best professional wrestlers in Mexico City!
So if you hear anything about the Gringo Loco, that's me, okay?
Diverted has been named among Apple Podcasts' Best So Far list of 2025.
We were on our own at 3,600 meters.
We have that mark as narcos, cocaine, violence, as a Pablo Escobar thing.
To be honest with you, if I never see Route 40 again, I will be a happy, happy man.
Diverted. All 10 parts are available now for free via Apple Podcasts.
I thought Route 40 was the most lonely road in the world. Turns out Route 25 is somehow even lonelier.
All right, folks, get your finger out and pitch your football knowledge against Team OTB to win big. There's €2,500 for the winner of the OTB Final One Standing League on the William Hill app. Guaranteed winner, and it's exclusive to our own league. Just sign up at William Hill Final One Standing, use the code OFFTHEBALL, that's all one word and all caps, and make sure you sign up before Friday the 15th at 8 o'clock when the new season kicks off. €2,500 to the winner, guaranteed.
Bear with us, John. Let's read out some texts here from the listeners on 53106 about Jack Charlton. The crazy thing about Jack is we tend to forget over here what a player he was, but Big Jack in Ireland was a match made in heaven. I really feel we were lucky to find each other. He'll be sadly missed. Jack was a gentleman through and through. I grew up in Moy Heights in Ballina, County Mayo. Jack bought a house there in the early 1990s. He spent many weeks there during the summers enjoying fishing, which was a real love of his. A mark of the man was that he agreed to take part in a Q&A session to raise funds for the local residents association. He was probably the most famous man in Ireland at the time, but he happily obliged, had his few pints of Guinness, and was very accommodating. Rest in peace. It's no overstatement to say Jack Charlton and his teams helped the country to start believing in itself and helped find a new confidence. Rest in peace, Jack. That is from Pat in Cork. A truly remarkable man that a whole country knew as Big Jack. He changed Irish football, but he was also part of a process process that saw the Irish nation begin to have confidence in itself on the world stage. Thank you for everything, Jack Charlton. Rest in peace. Lads, we should all wear the green jersey today to salute Jack. The first time I saw my old lad cry was when he got to Euro 88. The King of Ireland, that is from Neil in Bray. And as long as Euro 88, Italia 90 and USA 94 are visited, as long as leather is kicked in the football pitches of this country, as long as those lucky enough to have been on the journey live, we will remember Jack Charlton because he made our childhood magical. I really do think, John, that the journey, whoever was the leader, whether it was Jack or any other manager, football to me in Ireland is now the number one thing. The Republic of Ireland team is the number one thing, and that is because of those tournaments.
Oh, there's no doubt. I mean, we love being on, like any country, we love being on the world stage. And Jack put us on the world stage for the first time in 88 and then 90 and really, really did the job and did it well. And he was a great character as well, as some of the people who are writing into you now. Like, Jack was a very ordinary lad. He was nothing big-headed about him at all. He was what he was, what he came from in Newcastle from the early days. He never changed. And he was a good human being.
Good stories that you remember, John, of Jack?
There was quite a few. Jack was always... There was Jack and the rest of us.
Right.
You know, Jack was older than us, and Jack was Jack, and he was a bit older than the rest of the lads, and he was captain of the team for a while and didn't like it. He had the superstition that he'd like to go out on the pitch last, and I think it was a relief for him. I don't think he enjoyed being captain, but he had a good sense of humour. He mixed in with the lads, and we had a good time together. We had a great time. I got on very well with Jack, very well.
Italia 90 was just... I got the feeling with Jack's teams, whether it was luck or whatever, that we always seemed to find a way for a while. The Romania game, the penalties, then we're playing Italy, the hosts in Rome. It was just this journey, this roller coaster. You didn't know when we were going to get off. And we'd go finish in the top eight in the world.
No, it doesn't happen by luck, John.
Yeah.
It just happened because Jack gave us great leadership. I would say I didn't agree with everything about football with Jack. But what Jack did do was definitely a leadership. In other words, Jack knew what he wanted. He insisted on it. He didn't take any... Because a lot of players, like I know, didn't enjoy the way we played under Jack. And a lot of players with managers don't understand and want to play the way the manager plays. And some managers give in to it. And that's lack of leadership. There was no question that Jack would give in to anybody in the way that we played. This is the way it was going to be. And this is the way we were going to do it. And that's what he insisted on and got the players to buy into that. And that was great leadership.
And great man management as well. The likes of Paul McGrath, he got the best out of Paul.
Yeah, he got the... Yeah. Well, you know, it wasn't always good. I think his managership of Liam Brady wasn't good. His managership of David Leary wasn't good. But that's... By the way, I'd only be critical of Jack, but that's an actual fact. I mean, he got the best out of the players that he had available in the team, the players that he put in the team. They bought into what Jack wanted to do, and that's what got us where we did. Because if you don't have leadership, you're not going to do well. And he did give us that leadership.
John, it's, I suppose, a really sad day. We can talk about the football as much as we want and this and that, but ultimately we're remembering a great man today who's passed, Jack Charlton, a man who brighten up the lives of so many people in this country, and that's not an insubstantial legacy.
No, I would, I played with Jack for 10 years. I would regard Jack as a very, very good friend. I saw him fairly recently, and despite the fact that I might have been critical on television of Jack and his football philosophy, that's by the way. I never fell out with Jack. Jack never fell out with me, and we remained good friends up to the last time I saw him was probably about 7 or 8 months ago. I've always regarded Jack as a very, very good friend, and condolences to Pat and the rest of the family, and a very sad day for the family.